All right. Sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash. On the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 491, recorded live on March 29th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With.
Scott Burks.
That's 427.
Info Parrot.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. You can also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. So is today one of those days where everybody's just kind of running in first gear? Because I know it is for me. It's one of those things where I needed to get a bunch of stuff done, and I did, but just not everything I needed to. So it was like, chug along, chug along, chug along, chug along. But that's how it's
first
been.
First gear is still better than reverse.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let's see. Geocaching-wise, again, not too much. We've got a couple of things going on. We rent a house. And the house is supposed to go under inspection on Monday. So Amy and I have been doing the, oh, my God, now we got to clean everything in a week. So it's probably something not quite as drastic as Scott with what he's doing with his house, but it sure seems that way. So, yeah, I haven't
had. It's a bit like my mother's coming to visit.
Yes, I just don't have the time. It's just one of those things to do it. So yeah, no geocaching for me, but the spirit's there, and we're still, you know, looking for stuff that we want to do. As a matter of fact, we're planning a couple of weekend adventures we want to do, but yeah, just couldn't do it this week. Scott, how about yourself?
Getting the house ready. Got the carpets in. Got the flooring in.
Yes.
Got the walls painted. Now it's just getting the house ready. You know, so doing that. And, you know, just working and baseball starting next week already.
Oh, yeah.
Already, my Wednesday nights are already booked. I got practice every Wednesday night. It's already booked.
Oh, wow.
So tonight is my last night.
Yes.
Tonight is my last night until around August. So.
That's it. So it's
see everybody at the end of the summer.
Yeah. So we're going to have he can never be replaced, but we're going to have Cloak and Dagger come in. And he's going to fill in for Scott, so we have four voices to listen to.
Yeah. So, as I said, I'll come in when I can.
But, yeah.
And I'll keep you updated on what's going on. But I got three kids in baseball. I got a move happening. It's going to be crazy.
It is going to be crazy. Now, I can see the doors open behind you. Is it that warm in Chicago?
No, that's a window right there.
Oh, that's a window.
That's a window.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm shifted right now.
Well, so you're not Mac, your windows.
That's it.
That's a window.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's traffic. You can see traffic coming.
Yeah, I was saying it looked like the door was open.
No, it's just traffic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Just trying to. Well, I got to put the blinds up later, so there'll be blinds up.
Well, I was sort of more planning than action, as ever. I picked up a few around. I just want to think what I did for last fortnight, because I missed last week as well. I did pick up a few around the place. I went for a cycle ride on Sunday with Mum. There's been a new bit of motorway open just north of Wellington. It's about an hour off getting north. And there's a bit. The good thing is there's a big cycleway that's gone alongside it. So we went and cycled a bit of it. cases that was has popped up on it. There's about a dozen cases already. I'm waiting for the other 30 or 40 to appear so I can do it as one big fell swoop. So thanks, Flowery Days and T-Man, for getting the ones that are out there now. Please, 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 can we have some more? But the one thing I did do was last Thursday, I went out for a walk while the boys were out at a scout evening, and they were doing fly fishing. So I near where they were, there's a track called the Tip Track, because it's up by the landfill, so it's not the most exciting name, but there's a couple of really good caches I got up there. But while I was out caching, one of the lads got a 1.4 kilo rainbow trout, which is a little over 3 pounds.
Good size.
Very good eating on Friday.
Nice.
I'll send them fishing again.
Oh, I love trout. Michigan's got such great... Go ahead.
Anybody's a keen angler, we've got loads of... There's loads of good trout fishing set, apparently, for those that know about it, but... I don't fish, but anybody who wants to is welcome to come over.
Yeah. Taz, how about yourself, man? I'll tell you what, Michigan's so full of trout streams. I mean, I grew up as a kid learning how to fillet trout, so that's just, you know, that's bread and butter.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't
Turangi Mega last year.
Yeah.
It's the trout capital of the world, of New Zealand.
Very nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't get out. I've been a lazy cacher here the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I really need to get back out there and get some caching in. It's like I keep on pulling it up on the computer and looking. It's like, okay, I want to hit this trail. I want to do this and just don't seem to get the time to really do it. I've had the guys over working on the fence and other things just going on with life and
yep.
I'm sure I'll get back out there soon.
Well, it's getting quick, and you know, it's interesting here in North Carolina. It's cooled down today, but like yesterday, it shot back up into the 80s, and you could tell the switch for summer's just about ready to get, you know, pull the trigger for it. So I want to really get in some decent, nice walks while I still can before, you know, you have your lungs incinerated. So I'm that's all part of it. All right, so let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads. Now, I don't know where they came up with the title, but they caught my attention right away. It's episode 274, Caching is Like a Donut. So apparently Chris of the Northwest, a.k.a. Bad Cop,
right.
Daryl W4, Land Monkey and Rock Chalk talk about how geocaching is like a donut. So,
yeah, that's a bait title.
I'm gonna let that stay right there. Something about a hole that's in the middle.
It's an old joke from the show.
Is it?
Daryl likes donuts and entice him with a donut.
Yeah, all right.
So. I was gonna say unhealthy, but only good for you if they're still hot.
I figured the bad cop would have liked the donut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Well,
it's a given. So anyways, that's cool. Please consider becoming a patron for our show. It does cost money to do a podcast. If you got a few bucks on you each month, if you would not mind, send it in our way by going to either our PayPal or our Patreon logos on geocachingpodcast.com's website and set up to give us a couple bucks each month. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Every penny counts, and it literally helps cost for everything it does to do a podcast. And for the people that are doing that, thank you so much. For the people thinking about it, jump off that fence and get right over and set yourself up. We'd greatly appreciate it. So thank you to everybody that does do that. This week is kind of to par with how I think people have been feeling lately. No news and nothing this week from the GCPC mailbag. So if you would be so kind, if you have comments, questions for the hosts, send it to gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. And we love hearing from you. And we will put you out on the show. And thank you for all the people that have sent in. We do need more. So thank you so much for the GCPC mailbag. All right, moving on to, all right, guys, Now, Scott, I don't know how we're going to work this. It's episode 491, so we got nine more episodes. So we'll have to work to find out the exact day when it gets set down there so that we make sure you're on for the episode 500.
Let me think. 9 weeks. Well, when is 9 weeks?
It's a week after the 8th. I'm not sure.
You know what day that is?
I got to figure that out. I got to figure it out.
It's Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Thursday. Yes.
So I'm going to see about seeing who I can get in touch with to see that they can make it over. And
I'll try and get – let me know when.
Yeah, I'll let you know when. Because, I mean, you know, you've been on the show since what? Episode what was it? 300? 400?
Threes, somewhere in the threes.
Somewhere in the threes.
Yeah. 320s maybe.
Yeah.
Around there somewhere.
Looks like May 31st.
All right. So that's
that's what I was just about reckoning.
Oh, that's when
end of May.
Yeah.
End of May. Okay.
All right. So
it's already the end of May. It's already 500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember being a guest. I was the gopher from the Love Boat back then before I came on with the Geocaching Podcast. And then about episode 200 or so.
It's not Gopher. It's Charo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Charo.
Coochie, Gopher coochie. Was on the show.
Coochie coochie. God. Yeah.
Gopher was on the show.
That's it.
I thought it was a Pokemon you were talking about.
Oh, no. No, Charo could be a Pokemon, but I don't want to go that way.
It's an old Gen X reference to an old show from the 70s.
Yes, Captain Stubing. Yes. Anyways, I'm sorry, I was flashbacking to Julie back then. Anyways.
She was hot back then.
She was hot. but I digress.
That little schoolboy haircut she
had. Oh, yeah. Dang, that little outfit. Oh, but I digress.
Oh, okay. No, it's nostalgia radio.
I'm
haircut,
just saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, anywho.
Be my cruise director.
Tonight's episode is episode 491, and it's about offline functionality. So, you know when they say don't go on the other side of the tracks? I was in the forums checking some things out.
Why would you go into the forums?
Just, did you take holy water and garlic?
I did. I did a bunch of Sancta Sanctos. It was great.
It's like the Wild Wild West over there.
It is. But it does come up with some unusual and fun topics every once in a while to discuss. And what I ended up going to is there's a section in there called User Insights. And what it is, or what it was meant to be, was for geocaching.com to send out feelers to the other geocaching. Well, thank you. The other geocachers out in the world to see feedback as to certain subjects. They used it three times, I think. And the last one was literally, it finished up late February or early March, and it was talking about offline functionality. Now, we know already that they've already turned on lists for offline functionality. That just became a feature just recently, but what I thought was interesting is they kind of came over with all these different things about the different parts of what would people like or not like when it deals what's necessary for offline functionality. So I literally pulled the entire thing off the interwebs and put it in our show notes, and I thought it'd be an interesting discussion tonight. So let me start it off with this, and then we'll jump into it. This is quoted from the insights section where it's literally talked about offline functionality. What information is important while caching offline? Said, for the folks that use a smartphone to cache, the product development team is curious to learn about how you use offline functionality. It's a tricky thing to balance data and bandwidth, space constraints, performance and speed, and access to the information that you need to have fun playing the game. Your feedback will help us find that balance in our apps. Thanks. So we'll start off with what they asked, and then we'll just kind of go over this. What information is critical to you or critical for you to access while caching offline. And I'll list off some of the things that they're having here. Maybe we'll kind of see which is the top of the list or not. Basic content, which is like your description and your hint, map tiles, logs, cache photos, log photos, and waypoints are the things that they asked, which are the most critical for you guys to have. So one on each of you want to just grab one of the ones that pops off the top of your head there.
Well, I'll take map tiles for 100. So first of all, map tiles are okay, but OSM maps are better. So, you know, I don't want to just cache Google Maps tiles and deal with them. I would rather have a very high quality OSM map that's actually taking up less space for the area that it's using, but having more detail.
What exactly, describe what an OSM map is.
OSM.
Open source map?
Yeah.
Yeah.
OSM stands for open source map, and it is a semi-community driven mapping resource. So the community updates the maps. Well, the maps tend to actually be better than Google Maps, definitely better than any old Rand McNally type maps. And oftentimes they have a lot of good trail information and stuff that a lot of other places do not have. And, I periodically download my particular state. And also there's some that cover the entire U.S. that I use for my GPSR. Because they're way better than Garmin's.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Now, the other part with that, too, I do remember, because I pulled out the, because it's the only one I can do now, the classic app is kaput. I pulled out the geocaching app, and they recommend right off the bat is that you actually use their trail map to go through and find, because I'm assuming it's lesser resolution and you're going to be able to use it a little better offline than you would online.
Well, I believe the trail maps are vectorized like the OSM is, so it actually uses less data. So for the same quantity of information, it winds up using less data when it's vectorized.
Hmm. Sarah, Scott?
Well, I'm just having a quick look at on the other monitor, at the maps that come up with geocaching's official site. And the first level map, the standard geocaching map, hasn't been updated for the new expressway I was talking about 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at the open cycle map, which is the one I tend to use as a matter of choice, that's already got the new expressway and the cycleway beside it updated on it. It's got a big purple line going through it, so it's really clear. Which OpenStreetMap do you tend to use? And I'll see what that looks like. Oh, that's OpenStreetMap Standard has got the Kapiti Expressway showing as well. So the other maps are updated, but geocaching hasn't updated their sort of default map yet.
Right. All right. So map tiles is big, and when we talked to the creator of Cachely, that was one of the things that he had brought up, the biggest issue.
Nick.
Sorry, Nick. Sorry, man.
Respect.
I just want it for Droid.
Yeah, and I do too. But that was one of the things that he had talked was such a huge factor.
Never get it.
So any other critical stuff besides tile maps for Sarah or Scott?
Come on, the basic content. How about that?
Yeah, you got to have that.
Well, I mean, for me, the deal breaker for the official app is puzzle caches and automatically showing them at the solved coordinates, not the originals.
Yeah.
I'm planning a route. We're talking about offline, aren't we?
Right.
I mean, would they?
Yeah, that's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
The only way to pull that offline was the GPX would have to pull the puzzle final cords, but if you're pulling it from the website, wouldn't it do that already? If you're pulling a GPX from the
website, I'm not sure. Well, that would deal with field notes too. I mean, with stuff like that.
If it's GPX file straight from them, it does not have your updated. So when you download it from a Pocket Query, it does not have the updated field notes, which is one of my things that I kind of disappointed with the Pocket Queries. So when I get it in the GSEC, I have to refresh sometimes.
Okay.
To get that latest data, or when I get it down onto my phone, I will occasionally refresh all of the puzzle caches so that it will update to my latest field notes, which is missing from here, by the way. Updated coordinates.
Now, are the field notes actually stored on your device then?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're using your smartphone for this, but you decide to use your tablet, you lose your field notes because it's not there.
Well, if I downloaded it to my tablet and updated it there, then it's there as well. So as long as I've refreshed that data, it's there. So it stores it in locally.
Okay. All right. So that's that
CPU,
one.
That is.
Yeah.
This is such a Daryl answer. It's insane.
Let me tell you about the cycling system and how this works. It really is amazing. It goes through the algorithms that figure out the polarity of the sun.
We love you, Daryl.
We love you, Daryl. We miss that. I'm telling you.
He would so know the answer to this question.
Yes, he would. He would.
And then
backwards.
Give me 20 minutes of how it used to be. And then how it began to be.
All right. So that's that one. The next one that they have, of all the current information available that offline, what do you never use? I'll tell you this. I'm still not quite sure what their definition between the difference of a cache photo and a log photo is.
Cache photo is one from the cache page itself. A log photo is one that's attached to the log.
He's like the resident.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks, Daryl. We appreciate it. It comes in 64K resolution, not 4K like the other ones. Thank you.
Pop that right out too.
That was good.
It'd be nice to have at least the cache photos so that you can read a friggin' page if it's a puzzle cache and
there you go.
The log photos are less important, but they are sometimes nice to have when you're trying to search for things.
So yes. Getting desperate.
I'm getting desperate. Sometimes I will turn that data on and download those log photos.
Yes. You get a picture of a nice.
Admit something.
What's that? That
I've been caching for 9 years now.
Uh-huh.
I've never cached offline.
I can't say I never have. There have been a couple of places that I have been where, there was nothing. I was up in the West Virginia mountains, and you're a half mile from the car in the forest, and suddenly you've got nothing. I actually had offline maps for that, but it was on, I had them saved up so that I could use them. So I've done that, or in an event. If you go to a mega event, or I would assume a giga event, Wi-Fi does not work well either, and a lot of times your cellular coverage goes down. Mm-hmm. Offline maps do work nice for that.
I've literally never used an offline map.
Yeah.
I can't. I know Jesse has.
Yeah.
I have unlimited data and stuff. I don't have to worry about it. Like, I never even think about it.
For me, it's more for the battery consumption. But I tend to do, probably 75% to 80% of my caching offline.
Really?
Occasionally, it's like I will switch it over to satellite mode if I'm having difficulty finding it. It's like, okay, it's this tree over here. But otherwise, I'm usually with offline maps, and all my caches are loaded offline. So
wow,
except for GPS. Other than that, no. But even then, I got my phone in my other hand. Texting someone.
It does.
I have the option of quickly going online if I need the stuff, but yeah. I would rather just try to keep it all offline.
Waypoints, I would think, would be pretty important. So
yeah, it depends on the cache.
Yeah. So for me, I guess
waypoints. But you know, sometimes when you got multis and you figured out things ahead of time, or if you got, well, I haven't quite solved that puzzle cache, but it's either here or here.
Right.
And so you put it in the user notes, and CGO will automatically append it to your waypoints list.
Wow.
Another thing that CGO does that something else doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What information do you wish you had access to, but don't currently? Oh God! While caching offline, what information?
Sorry.
Do you?
I'm sorry. I do have everything available. seriously, everything that we talked about.
Shy of the field notes
are things that you know I'd want. Plus, field notes, which they don't list here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say ultimate offline. That I've been known, especially if it's sort of the, here's a photo of half a dozen tombstones in the cemetery. It's taken from odd angles. Find them and find the date that the third child died. You know, those sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well,
the happy ones.
I will admit that I print those off and take the paper with me because there's no way I can read those sorts of photos from a mobile phone screen.
Right.
Tree killer.
Yeah, I'm a tree killer when I need to be.
Oh, yeah.
I do that for earth caches.
That brings back memories. Printing off reams of paper just to go out and find a couple of geocaches. Before we turn it to the paperless society that we are now.
We have about as much chance of having a paperless office as we do of having a paperless bathroom.
Yes, exactly. Well, you need to use the three shells, but that's all right. Anyhow, let's see. And again, that goes back into nostalgia movies. Check out
Fifth Element, right?
No, the three.
Wait, don't say it. What was it? Let me hear it again.
The three shells.
That is Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
God, we are so good together. God, kidding me, hit it every time.
That's why I need people on quiz teams.
Yes,
with me.
Demolition Man is exactly correct.
I can't get the movies and I can't get the sport, but I can get the obscure trivia.
He doesn't know how to use the three shells.
He doesn't know how to use the three shells. They used to wad of paper.
You pulled an old school one out of there. Go on, that's Demolition Man.
All right. So
I have no idea what you're on about.
It's a
I forgot my multi-pass.
Wait, a young Sandra Bullock in
yes.
pre-wearing yoga pants. Now yes. they wear them all the time. But yes. like, remember she wore like yoga pants in like the early 90s?
That was
like,
before.
Calm down, guys.
That was before Speed. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. She was young.
Oh, yeah. Just a baby. Anyways, and I could get into all sorts of trivia about Demolition Man and the never mind. We'll get into some other time.
There's Demolition Man trivia.
Yes. Did you know? All right. 2 seconds. Did you realize where do they go to for their special dinner?
Taco Bell.
Used to be White Castle because there are different countries and different arguments that they had to switch the sponsors.
Really?
Yes. We're going to go to White Castle. Anyhow,
so White Castle was going to win the wars.
Yes. Really? Yes. So, anywho, we are a fountain of useless knowledge. I'm just telling you. How would you do things? Here you go. How would you do things differently than the current offline functionality on the paid geocaching app?
Oh, God, we're going to the paid app, really?
Well, that's what they use. This was back in
the paid app is the good app.
That's
the dead app.
The dead app. It's the dap, da dap, da dap, da dap,
da dap, da dap,
da dap, da dap. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would you do things differently with online or offline functionality? I think the one that's missing that I think Chad hit right off the bat was field notes. They got to have field notes in there. And I don't think that works offline. I haven't tested it yet, but I believe that it does not.
Well, the new one or the old one?
No, on the only app we got now.
Oh, the app has field. Does it have field notes?
Yes, but not offline.
It's called something else, though. What's it called now?
Called they got notes? Another magic buzzword that they tried using.
Come on, Taz. What's the buzzword?
I don't use that app.
And you want to be Daryl. Shame on you.
Unequivocally, like, oh, he'd have it. He'd
I just
have
got
it right
an
away.
Email about it like a week ago.
Yeah.
So CGO, I believe, calls it field notes, and you can upload your field notes from there.
Yes,
so you can get what's online, and you can upload what's offline.
Yeah,
somebody in the room will know. Come on, guys, what is the new app call field notes?
Yes.
Somebody in the
I remember seeing an email about it, and that was the last I
yeah
I,
right. We changed it to blah, 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 blah. I guess I could look on
it's
my
like,
phone.
Why do they do that?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. There's a the lads got a underwater hockey tournament on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the Nine Eye.
Did you see an underwater hockey tournament?
Yeah. And there's about half a dozen caches nearby that I haven't found, so I might even download the new thing and see if I can make it work and report back.
How do you skate underwater?
I don't want to know about the geocaching. I want to know about the underwater hockey tournament that you're
having.
Do
you scuba? What?
What they have fins and a snorkel.
And they play hockey.
Well, they have a sort of handheld stick that's about yay long. It sort of looks a bit like a mini cutlass. And they have fins and they have a snorkel and goggles. So spectator above the surface, you can see absolutely nothing.
Ah, found in the wild. Sorry, found in the wild just came through. It's called drafts.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's why we love our channel.
Oh, so hold on. Back to the underwater hockey. So does this sport have an official name, or is it just underwater hockey?
Called underwater hockey.
Do you just like gut your opponent while you're down there?
Would you please Google that for us?
I'm on it.
Oh, he's on it.
He's on it.
I think that's frowned on in the rules. They do have a couple of referees in the
we
water.
We stretch our range here on the geocaching podcast.
Are they like in
when
stripes
we have...
too? Are they in striped speedos or what is it?
Okay.
Look, we don't go that far. It's okay. A kids' league. Not...
Oh, there is even a USA underwater hockey league.
Is there really?
All right, Taz, put. Chaz,
how do you do checking underwater?
Come on.
Do you pull the other guy's tube? What? How do you
cover up his air tube? Is there fighting? I don't know if there's fighting.
Oh man, come on! He smacked me in my goggles. Wow.
Sorry?
Wow. He smacked me in my goggles.
The goggles do nothing. Is there no pictures there, Taz?
Oh, there's a bunch of pictures.
Do they got, like, tridents? That would at least be interesting.
Underwater hockey.
Yeah.
Okay, silly question. Don't the sticks float?
They're only about 8-9 inches long, and they're held in your hands. So you know.
Wait, 8 or 9 inches long? That's less than a foot.
Yes,
that's a club. That's not a stick.
And the goalies have those arrow things, the arrow guns that you shoot underneath.
Oh, you found some? Yeah.
Okay, let me bring this up for the people that are watching. All right, we've got a little video on here, and it's showing the sticks.
Those are the gloves.
A fuzzy glove. Duct tape to the ankles. That's clever. And USA flippers.
Oh, this show is just going off the
for
rails,
the fence. It just went crazy. The world is playing. I would love to see that. And we're ready to compete.
The USA is ready to compete in underwater hockey.
Yeah. Well, they tried underwater polo, but the horses kept dying.
It's not quite. I was just thinking, it's not quite ice hockey when meets global warming.
Wow.
This is women playing this.
Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's mixed teams, at least at the grade the kids play.
Oh, my God. This just completely took... They're wearing
like
helmets.
Water polo with sticks.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, so you're playing hockey against on the floor of the pool.
Okay, so the sticks are literally about 8 inches long. The puck glides across the bottom of the pool.
So the puck obviously sinks and is heavy.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you take your fingers and jab somebody in the side while they're underwater, I mean, is that a foul? I mean...
Two Wombles in the chat room wants to know if the New Zealand national underwater hockey team is called the Water Blast.
I have no idea. I can tell you that the New Zealand trout fishing team is called the Silver Flies.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Because
I know somebody
who's in it. All right. We're going to pull this back in. We are
well, not as racist as what was proposed for the.
No. Where is it? Okay, I'm just saying. All right, back to
underwater hockey.
Underwater hockey. Who knew it was a thing?
You know, I thought it was ice hockey, field hockey, and roller hockey.
Yeah, underwater hockey.
Now when my kids says I want to play underwater hockey, I don't think he's screwing around with me. You want dope? You want dope?
Well, wow. there's also canoe polo.
We'd like to thank the folks from New Zealand for coming up on all this weird stuff, because otherwise nobody would believe us.
We didn't invent it. I'm sure we imported it from you guys.
This thing come to the from the U.S. Maybe Canada.
Definitely. Wow.
Underwater but hockey.
We went past digress about 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. Dealing with map tiles, how large of an area do you usually save for offline caching? We don't. Does anybody
the
say
entire state?
Oh, do you? Oh, except if you're Chad. Then when if you're Chad, you just do the whole world and say screw it. I'm going to get everybody.
That's preferable.
Apparently, there's a whole underwater hockey tournament in Hawaii in September 2017. Here we go.
Diving for coconuts. I'm just saying.
That's hey, man.
Wow.
Who knew? Who knew? So yeah, getting back to caching offline. Yeah, so, yeah. It's.
Do you favor?
I've never done it before.
Yeah. Do you favor high resolution map tiles that take more space to store and longer to download, or lower resolution maps that take less space to store and are quicker to download?
I prefer vectorized, which is high resolution that doesn't take up as much space.
Thank you, Daryl, for answering both questions the same way.
Tile maps, the world, I'm sorry, does not revolve. Well, I guess it does revolve around Google Maps, but, you know.
Don't tell Google that.
You need to provide other options that are better.
Yes. More gooder. Yes.
I guess the biggest problem is the technical competence of individuals to actually go out and get these maps.
They drive in cars with cameras on the top. What do you want?
I think if they would resource it right where they can pull in the states for you or the provinces or the countries over in Europe and that kind of thing.
You do know that the countries are like really big. So
the countries in Europe are not that big.
Wow. Depends on your country.
Depends on the country. Most of them are smaller than Texas.
Oh, see, I was going to pull out the size joke, but I'm going to leave it right there.
Everything is bigger than Texas.
I'm just saying. Wow. Okay, moving on to logs. Do you read logs while caching offline? I would.
Sure.
I absolutely would.
Definitely.
They said
if I can't find it within the first 5-10 minutes, it's like
I'm reading the logs. And that's usually when you see things like, wow, the coordinates were really off 80 feet.
Yes.
Or here are the new cords. Better cords for you. Those are my, like, oh, thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
The underwater hockey does not give me any names for the team. I'll have to ask the coaches.
Sarah,
I'd be betting on something like the silver fins or the white or the black or white fins.
Sarah. Let it go. Let it go. And no, I'm not going to burst into song.
We're pretty sure it's not the water blacks.
It's
so not.
It's the water wing penguins. I'm just saying. Okay. Would you, as he steps over, would an ability to customize the amount of logs you have access to help? Example, 5 or 10 most recent logs, the first and last few logs on the cache only found or DNF logs. I would think some of that would be helpful for offline. I would love to have at least the last 5 or 10 recent logs.
5 or 10. Yeah.
So that usually gives you enough. If you're digging in 5 or 6 pages, you're digging too far.
The problem is,
I would like for them to do is it's like give me a little icon that says, "Hey, this thing's been DNF the last 4 or 5 times."
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to go after that cache.
Yes.
Here's the problem with that, Taz. What I'm seeing a lot, and I found a lot of caches this way, you see it being DNF three or four times, but then you look at their fine counts, and it's like six.
Yeah. Well, wow. Yeah, you always take wow. that.
You can't see that on an offline map, and so you're going to pass it right by when it's there. Yeah. It's just this person hasn't seen a freaking lamp skirt.
I'm going to make sure that, you know, someone that I'm going to look at the logs and make sure that the person isn't a complete noob that that can't find
right.
it.
Yeah.
Right. But I also don't feel like spending 15 minutes there looking for a cache, looking for that, and then finally look at the logs like, oh crap, this thing hasn't been found in 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Why the heck isn't it archived?
Oh, just drop.
Yeah.
Just drop. It hasn't. No one's judging you.
Much. Anyways, images.
I've been there, though. It's so many times.
Just drop. Just drop.
It's like water hockey. Just let it go.
The whole area community will thank you for dropping.
Let it go.
So, just Sarah, drop. What's the name of the...
See? Images. Do you save images when caching offline? No.
No.
How important are images while caching offline?
I don't. Yeah, but again, at least for the log cache. But if I can't find it and I'm purely offline, tough cookies.
Yeah.
Now if I have the ability to turn that data on, yeah, I'll go ahead and take a look at a few pictures.
Yeah. Sure. It says which images are more important, cache owner images or cache log images? I don't think cache owner images are going to... They're not going to say, cache hey, I...
images.
Yeah.
I should be. Yeah. I would say...
Well, sometimes they're essential.
Right.
Yeah, but a cache owner isn't going to sit there and spend, you know, 2 months doing research to hide your geocache and say, boom, here's a picture of my geocache.
Sometimes there are puzzles or sometimes there are veiled hints within those images.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That part I would say. If it's part of a puzzle cache and you've got inlaid code in there or you've got some other, you know, color resolution thing that you can do with a – you know, that's a necessity. But like you said, if you're offline out in the middle of the field and it doesn't work, guess what? You're coming back some other day.
Right.
Yeah. Because you need the equipment anyways to diffuse or whatever you need to do with it. So.
Right.
Yeah, all right. So the thread that they had with this actually went on, and it closed on March 7th. And if you get a chance to every once in a while venture into the dungeon like I do.
So people actually go in there and actually post?
Yeah, basically what it is, it's you go into the forums and you go into user insights section. And every once in a while, about every 2 or 3 months, they put out, hey, what do you think about this?
I don't even stick my head in there.
I know.
For fear of it getting chopped off.
Yeah, you have to go in with a machete and a couple things with that you use that you see in The Walking Dead, and and just venture with caution.
It's just the Wild West
go in there. So just take care with it. It takes time. Now, let's kind of go with this as we were talking about the new app that apparently nobody uses but me right now.
Is it your go-to app?
The Classic app was my go-to app, but they cut it off.
The Classic's dead, so what's your go-to app?
For right now, I'm using that just to give it a chance. And I'll tell you what convinced me to use it for now is that I was very impressed with the trail map. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of times that I've been in parks that none of the other maps that I had worked those trail systems as well as that. So that's the only major thing that I go with that. For me, when you have an app that you can't do a cut and paste from, which drives me insane, the usability is so clumsy and so hard to use. I would go back to I like I said, if I can't find one who can't find in geocaching, I'll go to CGO and go to that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. between the two, I can usually get what I need.
Yeah. Have you ever used CGO before?
Oh, yeah. That was my go-to app for a long time. Mm-hmm. Went back to the Classic app. Probably the CGO had its problems. And I probably backed off of it about 2 years ago and then went to just using the Classic app. And I was happy mm-hmm. with it. I was completely satisfied with it. Mm-hmm. And then when they took it away, now it's like, So I'm waiting for the next big thing. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So
CGO.
Huh?
Need to go back to CGO.
Yeah.
I'm just a CGO person, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's still owned by a Russian developer, isn't it? Or Czechoslovakian?
No idea.
I thought Russian.
It's European. I'm not sure. I think it's Eastern Bloc, but yeah. It's not Russian.
Yeah.
I've chatted with a couple of developers before. I like what they're doing. They're you know, they're doing it for free. They're not making a dime off of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a good app.
Eastern Bloc. This made by Moose and Squirrel.
Yes.
Yes.
Natasha.
This geocaching is good.
Boris, Natasha.
I think the person I originally came up with it was from Spain or Portugal.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if I can find anything on the app that gives me that, but nothing I can see that's
now for
Carnero. It's Carnero, Carnero is listed as the father of CGO, and that sounds like a Spanish name.
Yeah, he was the one that originally came up with it, and I think he was either
looks like a lot of Czechoslovakian sort.
I thought there was some Czechoslovakian
by the.
Yeah,
yeah.
Isn't Czechoslovakia gone? Isn't it done?
Well, there's the Czech Republic and Slovakia now.
Right,
right. So it's not Czechoslovakia anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
six and one.
I've never been this.
So, for the folks that if you want to use and see, it's like, well, I don't know what it's like to use the app offline. It's very simple. All you have to do is, if you've got your phone, put it in airplane mode. Mm-hmm. If you go to geocaching.com. Or open up your geocaching app if you've got it. Mm-hmm. Click on the your airplane mode. It shuts off your Wi-Fi. It shuts off your cellular, and mm-hmm. then try picking up a geocache. And what happens with this is you're going to get a bunch of network stuff. It'll actually tell you in the geocaching app that you're offline. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, and I guess the most important point for people to consider, if you're going to an area like an event or someplace up in the mountains or what have you, where there's a possibility of some dead zones there that were in the spots that you're going to go geocaching, if you do pocket queries, having the pocket queries by themselves, because you can go to lists in the geocaching app and see all your pocket queries there, happy and content. The problem is when you go offline, you do not have access to those pocket queries anymore. The secret is you have to download the pocket list before you go into the offline area. Very, very important. If you go in there, basically, what happens is you can do it right now. You can go in, click on the right-hand side of the pocket query. You'll see several dots. And one of the things that are in there will be select download offline data. And it'll download your pocket query right onto your phone and keep it there. That way, if you actually go back into airplane mode after that, it'll work just as if you were catching to it online. There'll be a couple of things that won't work as expected. You'll see that it'll say network error in a couple of spots. But you'll actually be able to have the data there and be able to get to it pretty much like you would if you were online. But you got to download them first. That's the key thing to remember.
Talking of downloading, CGO's just, as in the last hour or so, released a new update.
Yeah, I just updated mine about 5 minutes ago when I first launched. Yeah. I was like, please install the new update.
Well, you know, I think the really important question here is when the hell is underwater hockey going to be an Olympic sport?
I think that would be awesome. I would pay money to go see that.
Do you know, here's a little fun
fact for you. It needs something like
Here's a little fun fact for you. I'm coming out with an underwater hockey podcast. Just so you know that.
You stole my idea.
It's going to be called Octopush. Okay. And I'm going to push for it to be an Olympic sport. So
I want to know how the refs work in this thing. Do they got scuba gear and they're just down there? I mean, come on!
I don't think their budget runs the scuba gear at the kids level. They have snorkels and fins, and they're in the water.
So and they may even that podcast this summer. It's coming.
Oh, dang! Stole my idea.
They may even have GoPros on them. So we'll see what they get up to.
I mean, how do you do?
A team called the Squids.
And they squirt real ink. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you foul down there and do that? I mean, shy of pooping in the pool or
look,
something.
Look, I've never played. I can't tell you.
I just like how the video is all women.
Yeah.
Is this a girl sport? Is it like...
And they're wearing helmets.
Is it more female than male sport here?
Video I clicked on, so I have no idea.
You just searched out the women's one. I'm just sort of assuming...
There's a women's underwater hockey team, Chad.
I was going to say, is there a Swedish underwater hockey team? I mean, I'm just asking.
There was a USA underwater hockey team.
Yes.
It is USAUWH.org.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
How about that? How about that?
And they how fast can you go? I mean, seriously.
I
don't know. It depends how fit you are and how good you are at using a snorkel and fins, I guess.
Scraping a puck along the bottom of a pool. I'm just saying.
I love it.
If you Google underwater hockey in the very and go to the videos, the very first YouTube video link is the one that I selected.
Uh-huh. See, you still can't get it out of that. I'm just
we'll
saying.
Believe you.
I'm not that guilty.
I want to see the underwater hockey team with guys my size. I'm just saying. It'd be like a beluga pod going through.
It's the craziest thing, man, underwater.
Oh my
hockey.
God.
God bless. Yeah, yeah. It seems like a very European thing.
I would think.
Yeah.
It just promotes
no
so many questions.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, your penalty. You have to be underwater for 4 minutes.
without your snorkel.
Without your snorkel.
Sit on the side of the pool.
And Benny's going for the goal. And,
yes, so look for the Octopus podcast coming this summer.
Dang it.
I'm not sure which I'd rather watch, underwater hockey or Quidditch.
Underwater hockey, man. Underwater hockey.
I'm just saying.
Wikipedia's got a whole freaking thing going here.
Do they really?
I had a friend actually try to convince me to go watch a Quidditch match.
Really?
Really. You know, there was
Harry Potter the Seeker in that one?
Maybe. There was a lot of people. My understanding is there's a lot of people dressed like Harry Potter.
Good
Lord!
And we lost Sarah at the right time here. What is this?
And I was like, yeah, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
I would have gone just to watch the people watching.
Yes, that's going to be awesome. So we digress. It's one of those shows, folks. You know, that's how it goes. What was it last week?
Cereals and stuff
like
that.
We got off into some nostalgia way, and it's like, Sarah is back. Sarah,
I just suddenly vanished. I've no idea why.
Have you ever gone to a Quidditch match, and did Harry, was he the Seeker when you went? Because isn't that New Zealand too? Isn't Hogwarts right next to the where the Hobbits are?
No, not as far as I know, but I have got... I do talking of weird sports, there's a couple of caches around in the hut that are set around a frisbee golf course.
Oh, that's popular here.
Yeah,
frisbee.
That's huge in the United States.
I don't know about huge.
Oh, I know quite a few people.
Huge.
A lot of they will spend like several hundred dollars on a frisbee, depending on its balance and its throw rate and all the rest of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
But we spend about $700 on stupid stuff.
I'm sorry, the term whammo mean anything to you? $6, baby. Let's get that in the hoop.
Right? yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, Frisbee golf is popular. There's actually two or three courses right around where I live.
Oh, yeah, there's courses all over here.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's not like a Frisbee golf team or anything like that. You know, the high school doesn't have a Frisbee golf team.
Not yet.
So I'm sure they
will. Water hockey team, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
But
go to the beach, you can gather a team pretty quick. So I'm just saying.
Underwater hockey. God bless them.
No, the beach is for playing touch or beach cricket.
Beach cricket?
I'm sorry. Running around a beach with a bunch of bikinis and a paddle, that just has a whole beach different meaning.
What?
I'm just saying.
As if you couldn't make cricket worse, you go beach cricket.
Oh, come on.
Nobody. People who play cricket don't enjoy cricket. Nobody enjoys cricket.
I'm telling you. If I'm going to smack some balls, I'll play croquet. I'm just saying.
No.
There is nothing more satisfying than I'm just going to leave it right there. Something about two balls and a mallet. I'm just saying.
But another good news. Yeah, opening day is
the world's second most popular sport, only because of India.
Yeah, because India has 10
billion. Look, it's a religion in India and Pakistan.
It's like there's nothing else to do in India. So
yeah,
we have no money. But
that's why soccer is so popular over there too. So I'm just saying. Anywho,
opening day is 4 days away. I just want to know that real quick.
Oh yeah, for the real baseball.
Yeah, rounders.
Yeah. Yeah, rounders. Whatever.
Well, why do they wear just what? It just looks as if they're wearing pajamas.
Who does?
Your baseball guys.
Oh, did you ever see Abner Doubleday? Oh my God, it was. Ooh. Oh, don't tell me you don't know who the creator of baseball is, right? Abner Doubleday.
Idea.
Let's Google it, folks. Abner Doubleday, the creator of baseball for the United States.
That's not creator of baseball. The
guys
over here did basketball.
Yeah. Beach baskets.
Guys over here tend to play softball instead.
And he was.
I love softball. So yeah, they can tell how things have just gone here. So that's how that is. Yeah, Abner Doubleday, folks.
Okay.
Yeah, just saying.
We just soon to talk about obscure sports rather than talk about.
Back in those days, the outfits were made of wool. For the baseball players. They were terrible.
Wool. In the summertime.
Oh, my God. Let alone have an
extra. Like white in winter. Wool as well.
Scratchy.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweaty, greasy, scratchy wool.
Yeah.
Yay. That's a fun.
Like someone's like, put them in wool.
Hey, sir, what should we make the uniforms out of?
Put them in wool.
Put them in wool.
Put them in wool.
Let's see them run. Yes.
And then feed them peanuts.
All right. Okay. This is something that Sarah can answer with the European side of the world over there. What is the favorite food eaten at the stadiums with your sports over there? What is the favorite type of food that is eaten there?
Rugby. Rugby, beer. It's probably
you eat rugby?
More like what beer are you drinking?
Okay. Yeah, beer, I get it. But food, what kind of food do you eat?
I'm just thinking last time I went to the cake tin, mainly chips, pies as in small meat pies rather than sweet.
Okay. Now when you say chips, are you talking
fries.
French fries? Or are you talking fries. Nachos? Or?
Can you imagine, going to a baseball game with a meat pie?
Oh, yeah. Vincent potato pie. Yes, definitely.
Oh, my God.
I'd be like, you could go my buddy and be like, dude, are you eating a meat pie right now? And he's just,
get the Camatron on as he's eating a meat pie.
Well, a standard sort of heckle for a lot of people who are, say, carrying more pounds than they should be is, who ate all the pies?
Oh, my God. Now, see, in the United States, it's hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs are around.
Baseball is hot dogs.
Hot dogs and beer.
Hot dogs and beer. And you have to understand, the hot dogs have to be strolling since April. Before you get them, and I'll let the guys answer this. Regular mustard or dark?
Regular. I like regular, but a lot of people like dark.
No, tomato
dark.
Sauce.
I like dark.
Dark mustard.
Or ketchup for you guys.
Dark. No ketchup. No. Bad for Bowden. Ketchup. No. Ketchup hamburgers.
You know, for the corn dog sort of thing. Sausage in batter.
Oh, yeah. Corn dogs.
And dip it, and you dip it in tomato ketchup.
No. Mustard.
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 No.
Ketchup. I'm sure you put ketchup on your steak, too. I'm just saying.
I've adapted to New Zealand food. I eat sausage rolls with ketchup.
You guys have koala for crying out loud. I don't want to hear it. Ugh. No, it's interesting how the cultures are drastically different.
They are drastically different.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Well, there you go. You learned so much in this show, and it may or may not necessarily even be about geocaching.
No, it's not.
At least it's not the Belgians who.
Is it mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise to French fries or Belgian fries.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That's like gross.
Ugh. No, oh, yum.
No, see, okay, now I have to go differ with that because there is a ketchup sauce that they call it in the northern parts of the States where it's ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together.
No, that's wrong. And that's wrong.
I'm just saying, people have their thing. Well, it's like mac sauce. What's mac sauce? It's ketchup and tartar sauce.
What?
I don't know what mac sauce even is.
Big Mac?
I don't need Big Macs.
Okay. So Scott's eating celery sticks and
I just don't eat Big Macs.
Yeah. Mac sauce.
Is that what it is? Ketchup and Tabasco sauce?
No, it's ketchup and tartar sauce. Ketchup and tartar sauce.
I have no idea.
That's what mac sauce is.
I've never eaten a Big Mac in my life.
Oh, see, you haven't lived.
No, see, the thing is, I will live. That's it.
Ah, see, that's how it goes. Yeah, that'll be on my tombstone, Andy. He lived shortly.
It was the tartar sauce.
AK McDonald's, thank you.
Yeah.
You deserve a break today, so now you got it.
Take your break, Andy.
So is this a push for your new show sponsorship?
There you go. Hey, whatever will work. If McDonald's wants to sponsor the show, I'm not going to argue.
Well, I'll eat it every day to sponsor the show.
All right. So anyways, that's how it goes with our show. We got sometimes you just got to take that drift into underwater hockey and keep on going.
Or octopus.
Octopus. And look for Scott's podcast coming out this fall.
And cheerleaded by the underwater basket weaving.
Main referee will be Aquaman or SpongeBob, one of the two. You never
SpongeBob,
know.
SpongeBob, there you go.
Yeah, the same powers.
Good.
All right. All right, guys. Well, we want to thank Taz and Sarah and Scott for stopping on by, as always. And Scott, please be sure to stop by when you can. This is his
yes,
last
everybody
show
have a great summer. I will talk to everybody probably mid-July is my guess. I'll
yeah,
be around.
Sounds yeah. good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to the background changing to the new house.
Yes.
Yeah, a whole different
wherever
background.
Wherever it is.
Yeah. Wow.
Wherever it may be. Yeah. We'll see. I don't even know yet. So, I'll keep you guys informed. No worries.
Awesome. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. The show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.